This past Tuesday, we celebrated the feast day of St. John Paul II, a saint very dear to so many of us because we knew him, even if not personally, we knew him from his faithful and generous shepherding of the church for so many years. We've benefited and continue to benefit so much from his ministry. St. John Paul II wrote and spoke so much that we could spend a whole lifetime unpacking and digesting everything that he had to say, all of the words that he shared with the world, such depths of wisdom and insight. But I'd like to reflect with you briefly today on what his biographer, George Weigel, called his last sermon. What he meant by this was not the very last homily he preached at the last Mass that he celebrated, but the last sermon of St. John Paul II, in the eyes of George Weigel at least, was his silent witness of faithfulness in his suffering. How he, before the eyes of the whole world, carried so patiently the cross that he had to bear in his final days. You think about St. John Paul II, he was, as a young man, very fit and strong. He was a soccer player and he worked in a quarry for a time. Even after he was ordained a priest, he would often go out and hike in the mountains, climbing mountains. He loved to ski. Even after he was elected pope, he used to sneak out of the Vatican in disguise to go skiing because he didn't want to feel like a prisoner in the Vatican. And those who heard him preach knew the strength and conviction with which he preached the word of God. And yet in his final days, he was reduced to utter frailty and weakness. On Wednesday, March 30th of 2005, he made his very final public appearance. He would die just 3 days later on April 2nd. And on that day, he came to the window of the papal apartments. Actually, he was pushed to the window of the papal apartments in a wheelchair. And the whole world saw how weak he had become. They put a microphone up to him and he couldn't even speak. It's very striking. Actually, you can find videos of this online. Just how frail and weak he was. And as I went back to that video this week, I was amazed in particular at the humility of this holy man. He didn't feel the need to put up some front. He didn't have to hide behind his past strength and conviction. He allowed the world to see him so weak. It didn't matter to him to assert himself in his power. And in a very eloquent way, without even speaking, he taught us such a profound lesson about humility. It is that virtue of humility that comes forth so clearly in our readings today. We are called to humility, first of all, in our prayer. We've had really wonderful lessons in prayer the last few weeks from our Lord. A couple weeks ago, with the story of the lepers, one of whom returned and nine of whom didn't, we were reminded that in prayer we're called not just to seek what Christ can do for us, but we're called to desire Christ himself, as that one leper did who came back. Our prayer should be not just about what he can do for us, but who he is for us. It should be relational. And last week we had the parable of that persistent widow as our Lord taught us the necessity to persevere in our prayer, never to grow slack, not to give up. And today in this parable of the gospel, he teaches us that our prayer must also be humble. The first reading today from Sirach, we heard, "The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds." Humility. It is the virtue by which we acknowledge that God is the author of all good. That of myself I am nothing. I am utterly, radically dependent on God for everything that I have and everything that I am. Humility is the opposite of self-reliance and self-assertion. It's a kind of forgetfulness of self and a focus instead outward on God. That must mark our prayer, for that is who God is and who we are. And the more we express our prayer imitating the humility of the tax collector in today's parable, the more true and real our prayer is, and the more able it is truly to pierce the clouds. That virtue of humility must also then mark the whole of our lives, including how we relate to one another. In St. Peter's first letter in the New Testament, he says, "Clothe yourselves with humility in your dealings with one another." Today, the church throughout our archdiocese is offering special prayers for peace in the face of so much violence that is so present to us every day in the news. Humility is a prerequisite for peace. Pride it is that leads to division and conflict. Notice in the parable today, the Pharisee was self-reliant, self-assured, and so his prayer, this is an interesting little detail, we're told that he offered a prayer to himself, not to God. He spoke the prayer to himself. And what was the content of his prayer? Essentially, that he saw the world as me and all of them. Division, right there, is the fruit of pride. Peace, on the other hand, is the fruit of humility, which sees the world not as us and them, but as all of us in one human family. All of us imperfect, in need of God's grace, but all of us beloved sons and daughters of God. The more that our prayer and the more that our relations with one another are marked by peace, by humility, the more we become instruments of peace. So today, let us indeed unite our prayers to the perfect prayer of Jesus Christ here in the Mass, particularly for that intention of peace in our community. And as we do so, let's ask the Lord that by his grace, he might form us more deeply in that virtue of humility, so that as we pray and as we relate to one another, to our neighbors, we might truly live humble lives and we might do our part to create a culture of peace. St. Gerard Majella, pray for us.